Okay, we're going to get started this morning. We're already online, so it's good to see everybody this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. We're going to be studying in the book of 1 Peter again, as we have been in chapter 1. So if you'll turn there in your Bibles to 1 Peter. No, we're not that far. That's wishful thinking. I do have something that I received from my granddaughter Taylor that I wanted to read to you this morning. This is what it says. "Papaw, tell our Sunday school class my best friend got saved yesterday. Holly got saved. She's been on a prayer list at church for almost 3 years now. Every week, and I pray every day. We had so many conversations, and they finally found a good church in Bowling Green, and she got saved yesterday. She called late last night to tell me her whole world had changed. Tell everyone this is why them praying for the prayer list is so important, and tell them thank you." So that was good news, right? I know Holly. She's been a friend of Taylor ever since they've gone through school together. And she lives in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so that was wonderful news that I got this morning. God is in the soul-saving business. And as we study through the doctrine of election, don't you ever forget that. That we have a God that is gracious, that is good, that is righteous. And he has sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins that we might be saved. Sometimes when we study the doctrine of election, we get to thinking that God is not as gracious as he used to be. If he wasn't gracious as he used to be, and more gracious than anything on earth, this old boy here wouldn't be saved today. So we praise God and we thank him for so great a salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to go real quick over four or five different things that we've looked at, and then we're going to get started on the scripture itself here. Let's open with prayer, though. We've got a lot of people we need to pray for. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we lift up our sick and hurting to you this morning. I lift up Debbie Lovin, Joyce Barnhill, Shirley Jennings. I lift up to you Daryl Bunting. I lift up to you David Atwell. I lift up to you Terry Johnson. I lift up to you all of Bill Tanner, Sue Heine, Dwayne and Diane Goss, Bill and Evie, Steve and Sue. All of our shut-ins, Miss Ray, already mentioned her daughter Terry that has leukemia. Lord, all of those that are suffering and hurting today, those recovering from surgery, those, Lord, that are receiving treatment. Lord, we have many people that need your gracious help, your gracious love, your healing grace, and be put in your intensive care. That you would bless them, their families, their caregivers, and watch over them as well. We thank you for Jesus, the life we have in him. We thank you that this world will only seem like a blink of the eye in the time of eternity when we are with you. Thank you for being gracious. Thank you for saving our wretched souls, making us a child of God. Thank you for your word, which is a perfect treasure without error, that we might know you and we might even know who we are through your word. And we thank you for so great a salvation. Now bless as we study your word together. And we pray if there's anyone here in the second service that is at 10 o'clock that is not saved, that the Spirit of God might draw them to Christ. Father, thank you again for your divine word. As we study it together, give us clarity of mind. give us the unction of the Spirit that we might not only understand it, not only accept it by faith, but we might apply it to our own lives. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Well, she is to me. I know that. Yeah. Flora, thank you for praying for Flora. Flora is a lot better. She's just not completely over it yet. She had the RSV, influenza, and rhinovirus all at the same time. And she still has a cough, so that's why Taylor and her aren't here today, because she still has a cough. But she is much better. She's crawling now, and we'll be getting into everything. And so the challenge is on with her and Hazel. And so, but anyway, thank you for your prayers for her as well. Who is it? Lori who? Harmon. I know who you're talking about, yes. I talked to Linda yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. Lori Harmon, one member in our prayers as well. Yes. Thank you. Okay. We've been studying, and hopefully we'll get finished with verse 2 today. Maybe. Maybe. First thing we studied about was the nature of election. And if you haven't written these down, you can jot them down now, because I've got about five things here. And maybe we even have six. But the first thing we studied about was the nature of election. The nature of the doctrine of election was we're chosen by God. That's the first thing we studied. The second thing, the condition of election. The condition of election is that we are aliens in this world. This world is not our home. We are passing through. We are aliens in this world. The third thing that we saw was the source of election. When we looked at the doctrine of election, the source of election, it came out of a predetermined relationship with God. A predetermined relationship with God, which he ordained as part of his plan. So if you want to make that short, you can put the predetermined plan of God. Okay? Fourthly, the sphere of election. And this is what MacArthur used, the sphere of election. I'd rather call it the reality of election. The reality of election, that is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now let me explain a little bit about that. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, when we think about being sanctified, we usually think that's what happens after I'm saved. No, that's what happens when you're saved and progresses after you're saved. The word sanctify means to be set apart. We taught last Sunday that we are part of the elect of God before we become sanctified by the Spirit. When we're sanctified by the Spirit is what we would call being born again. That's when being a part of the plan of God in election becomes a reality through repentance and faith in Christ, and you become born again from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that means that God sets you apart from sin unto himself by the work of the Holy Spirit. Say it again. God sets you apart from sin to himself by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened when you were converted. You can call it conversion, the new birth, being saved. You can use whatever terminology you want, but it is a work of God. And the thing that, this is very difficult, I know, in when we study the doctrine of election. The thing that I want you to know above everything else is that it's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone that tells the story. It's all about the grace of God. It's all through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only found in Christ alone. And that's the thing that we have to understand above everything else. The second thing that you have to understand about this, that this doctrine proclaims to us very clearly, is that salvation, true salvation, being set apart by the Holy Spirit unto God through faith in Jesus Christ, when repenting of your sins, cannot be lost, because it is a work of God, not a work of man. It is a work of God, not a work of man. That's why we say grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. There is no place for man. The doctrine of election is one of the most humbling doctrines in Scripture, because it leaves us nothing to brag about. I can't say I chose. I can't say I decided. I can't say I had faith. I cannot say anything. I can say God chose. I can say God gave me faith. I can say the goodness of God led me to repentance. I can say God separated me unto salvation through the work of the Holy Spirit. But I cannot say that I did anything. Now you say, why is that so important? That is so important because if I chose, I could lose what I chose. If I decided, I could undecide. If I was the power behind it, I could lose it. If I was the deciding influence, I could lose it. And so you have to understand that the only reason you cannot lose what God has done is because He did it, you didn't. Because if you had any place in that, any place of works in that, what is gained by works can be lost by fault, by sin, by not doing works. And I'm kind of chasing a rabbit here, but I want you to understand this completely. A works-based salvation has two problems. Number one, they never know if they're really saved or not. Have I done enough works? Did I do the right works? Did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Am I still doing the right? Have I done enough? So number one, they don't know if they completely are saved. Number two, they don't know if they'll remain saved, because it's based on works. What if you don't continue in the works that God wanted you to do? Have you done enough? Did you do what He wanted? Do you ever fail? Has there come a time you didn't have enough faith? You could go on and on and on and on, and you would come to no end of it. So it is not a works-based salvation. Now then, what it is a salvation totally by God, given by grace, empowered by the Spirit, that you might become obedient unto Christ. The purpose of all this is that God would raise up a people for His Son, Jesus Christ, through which He would be glorified, exalted, and proclaimed throughout the world and throughout the endless ages, because of the work of God in them to bring them unto salvation. That they would have a heart for God, a heart for Christ, so that they would be glorifying and serving Christ throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. That's been God's plan from the very beginning. And it's God's plan. It is God's plan. So the next thing that we saw, and let me read the scripture now. I've gone through that. I should have read this first. To God's elect, strangers, aliens, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge. You say, that word gives us such a problem, the predetermined plan. When you see that word, just think predetermined plan. Okay? If you don't, you have problems all the time. Well, whose predetermined plan was it? Wasn't yours. Wasn't mine. It was God's. The predetermined plan of God, the Father, through the what? The sanctifying work of the Spirit. All right, that's just what we talked about. The Spirit of God sets you apart from sin unto God. You were born again by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And what else? What was the purpose of all this? For obedience. For obedience. Okay? So the purpose of election and the purpose of the sanctifying work of the Spirit and the purpose of all this is to bring us into obedience to Jesus Christ. Is to bring us into obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, how can I know then that I am part of the elect? How can I know then that I've truly been born again? I have been set apart unto God by the Spirit of God through sanctification, and now I am a child of God through the predetermined plan of God. I can know that because God has changed my life. Because God has changed my life. And there is a scripture, if I can, I've got ahead of my notes, but that's okay, I guess. Let's see, I think it's in. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 4. Turn there in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. And you'll see exactly what we've been talking about in the scripture here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians. That's all right, huh? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Can you all hear me good? Okay, just wanted to make sure. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with," now look at this, "also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." And with deep conviction. So what happens when the Holy Spirit that we just read about there in 1 Peter, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, what happens? Well, he spells it out for you right here. He came to you in power. Power to what? Power to change your life. You see, it is an impossibility for God Almighty to bring the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit into your life and your life not change. That's the thing, because it came to you in power. It didn't just come to you, he says here, by word. It came to you in power to change your life. And so we find then, as we just look back here in 1 Peter, that power that changed my life changes my want to. After I was set apart, after I was saved, after I was born again, whatever terminology you want to use, there was now a desire in my heart to be obedient to Jesus Christ. There was now a desire in my heart that it was not there before to be obedient and to follow Jesus Christ. That did not happen because of anything I did. That happened because of the work of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life through God Almighty, that He would change me by His power and change my heart. Notice what else he says. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Deep conviction. That's why you were saved. Not only there is a conviction that led you to understand you needed to repent. You needed to repent of your sin. You were convicted of your sin. You saw Christ on the cross. You understood He died for you. You understood the love of God, the grace of God, that He would send His own Son to die in your place. You were convicted of your sin. And listen to this. Not only were you convicted of your sin, when you repented of your sin, you had a conviction in your heart to be like Christ. You had a conviction in your heart to be like Christ. It came to you in power, in conviction, in power, in conviction. Now notice what else he says. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Now look at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. Oh. Suddenly, in your life, you wanted to be like Christ, an imitator of Christ. That is the work, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life when He comes in, sets you apart unto God, sets you apart from sin. When I say set you apart from sin, I don't mean that you'll never sin. I mean He sets you apart from the penalty of sin unto Christ. And when He did that, you had a desire in your heart to be what? An imitator of the Lord, an imitator of the Lord, a desire to follow Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here. Notice what it says, goes on, and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. What else happened when the Holy Spirit set you apart from sin to Christ? There was joy. There was a joy in your heart and a rejoicing that you had not experienced before. That there was an overwhelming sense of joy in your life because you knew your sins were forgiven. There was joy that came in your life because of that. This is what he's talking about here as you look at the water. Now notice what else he says. Giving by the Holy Spirit, joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became what? A model to all believers in Macedonia, Achaia. All right, so you became a model. What's that? A model of Christ. You became an ambassador, you became a model for Christ. Suddenly now, you did not want to just live for yourself, but you wanted to live for Christ. Do you understand? Now, what am I telling you here? I'm telling you how I know I'm part of the elect and how I know the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit has taken place in my life. If somebody asks me, I have people sometimes say, well, you can't know you're saved. I say, that's a lie. I know I'm saved by the Word of God. I've had people say, well, do you feel like you're saved? I said, I don't care how I feel. I said, it doesn't matter how I feel. I said, some days I feel good, some days I feel bad. I've used the illustration to you before. If I roll over in bed this morning, look at Kay and say, you know, I don't feel married to you. She's going to say, well, it don't matter how you feel at all. I care less how you feel. I got a document in there that says you're married to me. Well, I got a document here that says I'm married to Christ by the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't need to have a feeling someday that tells me that. I feel some days I don't even know who I am. But I know who I am in Christ by the Word of God. And so these are the things. Now notice what else he says. He goes on from there. He said, and the Lord's message rang out from you. That's verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, Achaia, and your faith in God has become known everywhere. Suddenly, now, you've got a story to tell that you never had before. You've got a story to tell. And that story is how God changed your life. That story is about Jesus Christ. And you have a desire now in your heart to tell that story about Jesus Christ. Because God, the Holy Spirit, in His sanctifying work, set you apart from sin unto God, made you a new creation in Christ, and now you've got a story to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ because of what God has done in you. Right? Shake your head. It won't fall off. Shake it. Do you see this all fits together? But it's so important because I would not want to be in a position where I thought if I didn't do enough, I could lose my salvation. That is an awful place to be. And that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Because when you get to the scripture and you break down the scripture and you see that salvation is a work of God, not of man, you realize that because of that, and only because of that, you cannot be separated from the love of God. You cannot be separated from the adoption. You've been adopted into His family. You've been born again into His family. You are a child of God, and there's nothing on this green earth or in eternity that can change that, and it's simply because God did it. That's why we rejoice in the truth of this great doctrine, because it's all a work of God. And so that's what... The first bell's already ringing. See, here I am. I ain't got to... Okay. That... I got to go back, First Peter. Now then... Let me read the rest of the scripture there in chapter 1 and in verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience. That's the purpose of all this. Obedience to Christ. Okay? That's the purpose of all this. Obedience to Jesus Christ. And sprinkling by His blood. Now, we studied this when I gave you the outline of it to very start over the whole book, what that meant. But I'm going to go back to it next Sunday morning because I want you to understand, I want me to understand, I want you to understand that what we have done is we have entered into a blood covenant with God. If you go back to the 23rd, 24th chapter of Exodus, that's where we'll go to. But you'll find out that's what Moses did, that he took the sacrifice and he took the blood and he sprinkled, he sprinkled the blood on the altar. Why on the altar? Because that's God's part of the covenant. And then he took the blood that was left and he sprinkled it on the people. That was their part of the covenant. Now, what he had just did was he had taken the word that he'd written down and he read it to them. And this is what they said. All this we will do. All this we will do. So there was an agreement, there was a covenant between God and them of obedience. All this we will do. That's what the sprinkling of blood is. Now then, this is so good. So you have entered into a covenant blood relationship with Almighty God that you will obey Him. Do you obey Him all the time? You don't. Well, what happens if you don't? You feel it. But you know what? That sprinkled blood on the altar, God's part is, He said, even when you fail, He'll forgive you. That's God's part. Pretty good, huh? My part. Lord, best I know how I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow Christ. He knows I can't do it perfectly. So He has His part through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even when I fail, He forgives me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. See? You get the picture? You see here what a beautiful thing this is? In this very two verses of Scripture, why it takes me forever to get through this, but you get the picture then of what a beautiful thing this is that God does. And He has done in you. And what a marvelous thing it is. And we rejoice and we worship and we praise God because we know not it wasn't of any, and I give you scripture for that, not of any righteous thing that we did, but it was all simply by the grace of God that He has done this. And that we might live our lives throughout eternity through the glory of God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has and is bringing together a people of His own that one day Christ will present to the Father faultless and blameless without blemish or spot. Amen? All right. Well, I got a little ways maybe. Okay. But this is really important. This is really, fellow says, good stuff. Because it anchors you in the Word of God. And then, this is what you have to realize. God is absolutely sovereign over everything, or He's not in control of anything. If you say that God is sovereign over this but not this, then He's not sovereign. God is sovereign over all His creation. Always has been, always will be. If it wasn't for that, I'd be scared to death in the world in which we live today. Because it would be absolutely frightening. Frightening enough as it is. Let's pray together. Second bell's done rung. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a perfect treasure to tell us about the goodness and the grace of God.
We thank you for Holly's salvation. We pray, continue to pray for others that we love and know about, that they may come to Christ as well, that they might be sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit, set apart unto God, saved by the grace of God, born into his kingdom, and become a child of God. Father, bless Brother Nate as he preaches. He's having a problem with his sinuses as well, so you bless him with a voice to speak. Fill him with the Spirit. Guide him as he speaks, that his words might be your words. And may the Spirit of God come down and work in our midst. And if there's anyone lost, we pray that the Spirit of God might draw them to Christ, that they might be saved. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.